Let's take our Bibles tonight. We're going to step away from Acts for tonight, at least. 1 Samuel chapter 30, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 30, if you'd go there with me tonight. Last week, we considered the ministry of encouragement as we looked at the introduction of Aquila and Priscilla and their encouragement of Paul. And we also considered how God himself encouraged Paul through providing the companionship of Aquila and Priscilla, the converts that he had there, providing his own presence as a reassurance and a promise to Paul, and then even the frustration of his enemies. We saw the encouragement that God provided. And I want to continue in that theme tonight. You know, we all need encouragement at times, do we not? And sometimes we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord, as we're going to see David in this example or this account tonight. 1 Samuel 30, if you would, we're going to read the first six verses. Stand with me for just a moment. We'll read those verses and then pray tonight. Verse number 1 of 1 Samuel 30, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." We see, for a very good reason, and from a human perspective, a legitimate reason, David was greatly distressed. The people were so upset, they were so grieved at their loss, that they spoke of stoning him. But David made a choice. He chose to encourage himself in the Lord his God. Let's pray for just a minute tonight. Lord, I thank you for this passage. I thank you for this example. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless us as we consider some simple thoughts tonight, but thoughts that should strengthen our resolve, Lord, to serve you this week and to be encouraged in the midst of the strife and the battle, Lord, in our Christian journey. Bless us now as we continue on. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Discouragement, by definition, is a loss of confidence or enthusiasm, dispiritedness. I think it's safe to say that David was dispirited. He had a loss of confidence and enthusiasm based on his current circumstances. By definition, on the flip side of that coin, encouragement is the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. And I'm glad tonight that I serve the same great God that David served, and that he does do just that. He does encourage us along the way. So as we insert ourselves into the context of this powerful passage, I was reminded and very thankful for the message that Pastor preached two Sundays ago, I believe, if memory serves, the qualities of a good soldier from 1 Samuel chapter 17. A powerful message, and I'm thankful for the life of David. I'm thankful that God has included so much about his life and the lessons that we can learn from his life. But very simply tonight, we see that David made a choice, and that choice was to encourage himself in the Lord his God. So we see David here in 1 Samuel 30 enduring much. He's enduring discouragement and distress. It seems to have literally been the hallmark of his days recently in this context. King Saul wanted to kill him. He and his band of men were living as fugitives in the mountains. They returned from battle to find the city burned, their wives, children, cattle, property had all been taken hostage. And to make matters worse, he became the target of the blame. He became the target of their vengeance, if you will. Some were calling for him to be stoned. In our vernacular today, we would say this qualifies as a bad day. Would you not agree with that? We all have good days and we all have bad days, don't we? But for David, this was a particularly bad day. Verse 6 reveals a very transparent moment, though, in David's life as we get a glimpse into his heart, into a choice that he made. Remember now with me that this man David is described as a man after God's own heart. And yet in this depressing and this disastrous moment from a human perspective, David made a spiritual decision. He had a choice to make. When some would advise, when in trouble, when in doubt, run in circles and scream and shout, David chose to encourage himself in the Lord his God. It was an intentional choice to be inspired, to be emboldened, to be reminded, to be heartened in the midst of an extremely disheartening circumstance. And yet in that moment, it's interesting to note that David did not turn to others or look deeply within himself for the resources that he stood so desperately in need of at that moment there in verse number 6. In the moment of great distress, as it's described for us. One definition of encouragement is described as restoring confidence through an external agent. One could say that David understood at this point in his life that the only external agent that could make a difference for him was the Lord his God. David knew his God. David loved his God. David trusted his God. And he knew that in that moment of distress, there was only one place he needed to turn. He had no one else. He had nothing else. He had nowhere else to turn. There was one thing that remained. He had a relationship with his God to lean on in that moment. As Alexander McLaren once said, whatever else we lose, watch this, whatever else we lose, as long as we have God, we are rich. Amen. And whatever else we possess, whatever else we possess, we are poor as long as we have Him. God is enough, McLaren writes, whatever else may go. We all know what it's like to receive encouragement from other people, even in a gathering like this. It's encouraging for me to see you here tonight. That is an encouragement that we experience together as we choose to come and to gather together for just such a time as this. And yet, as this situation proves, even loyal friends, even people that you are closest to can let you down. And David was experiencing that in this moment. People that he had led, that he had fought alongside of, David had a choice to make. He had only one place. He had only one friend, that's a capital F-R-I-E-N-D, to whom he could turn. So with discouragement, distress, and despair crowding into his heart, David chose to do three things in particular that we would do well to learn from. And I'm taking these from Psalms that were written by David. He chose to remember, number one, he chose to remember God's past provision and protection. That's a good thing for us to do as well, is it not? To choose to remember. Sometimes we can choose to forget those things, can we not? But to choose to remember God's past provision, God's past protection. You say, Sean, where are you getting that? Psalm 138 in particular. Let's go there tonight. I know that in seminary, they caution you, I guess I should say, against reading extended portions of Scripture because you can lose your audience. But I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt as the faithful crew tonight, okay? Stick with me, in other words, okay? Because I want to read a few verses for you, and I know it'll be an encouragement to your heart. Put yourself, we tried to do this by reading those first few verses, but put yourself, if you can, as difficult as it may be to do, put yourself in David's shoes for just a moment and listen to what he's saying. Psalm 138, verse number 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods I will sing praise unto thee. I will worship thee, or I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. He's talking about past tense when he cried out before. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the way of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. How could he so confidently say that in verse number 7? Based on past experience, right? What did Pastor say just a few weeks ago as he stood there to face that giant, Goliath? What was one of the things that he alluded to? He said, remember the bear? Remember the lion? Remember God's protection and God's ability to show his arm to be strong on my behalf? That's why he said in the present tense, as I walk in the midst of trouble, you're going to revive me. How could he say that? Because God had done it before. You're going to save me because you've done it before. Verse number 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Keep going. Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Nothing escapes you, God, is what he's saying. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge, the thought of this, he's saying, is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt not slay the wicked, or thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Can we say it this way tonight? Very simply, David chose to remember God's past provision and God's past protection. We should do the same, should we not? In moments of distress, in moments of disturbance and discouragement, David made a choice to remember, to rehearse. He rehearsed 24 verses, 8 verses, specifically rehearsing to God in a psalm, in a song, praising God for all that he had done and being confident that he would continue to do the same thing. But he didn't only choose to remember God's past provision and protection, he chose at the same time to rest in the present moment in God's present help in the time of trouble. We're going to look at a few more psalms tonight, and then we'll be done. A little different message tonight, but I hope it's an encouragement to you. Psalm 23, okay? We've got to go there. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I think it's safe to say that David experienced more than one valley of the shadow of death, literally, when you think about it, okay? Even in the two examples we alluded to tonight, in the valley there facing Goliath, as Pastor mentioned a few weeks ago, tonight, they're ready to stone him, okay? He's on the verge, okay? Potentially. Yea, though I walk through that valley, he says, there's no evil to be feared, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me, using that shepherd imagery. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One of the most popular, one of the most well-known psalms for a reason. Would you not agree with that? Powerful truth as the psalmist gives us a transparent look into his heart, even as a shepherd. Psalm 63, I'm just picking a few tonight. Psalm 63, David chose not only to remember God's past provision and protection, but he chose to rest in God's present help in a time of trouble. Psalm 63, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up mine hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. We see that past and present colliding or coming together, dovetailing together there in verse number 7. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go down or shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. David chose to rest in God's present help. Psalm 143. Go with me. Psalm 143. This is a prayer of guidance or for guidance and deliverance that David prayed. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In Thy faithfulness answer me, and in Thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with Thy servant, for in Thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. You've been there before? Overwhelmed, desolation. This is where David was. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all Thy works. I muse. I think on the work of Thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto Thee. My soul thirsteth after Thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not Thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear Thy loving kindness in the morning, for in Thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto Thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto Thee to hide me. Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for Thy name's sake, for Thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble and of Thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am Thy servant. David chose to remember. David chose to rest. And lastly tonight, David chose to rejoice in God's promises. Psalm 56 tonight. We're almost there. Psalm 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would swallow me daily, or would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. And then they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity and Thine anger cast down the people, O God? Thou tellest my wanderings, and put Thou my tears in a bottle. Are they not in Thy book? When I cry unto Thee, then shall my enemies turn back. For this I know, for God is for me. Isn't that good? For God is for me. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praise unto Thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" David was saying, if you control my soul, then you can control my footsteps throughout the course of my life. When I'm afraid, when life doesn't go according to my plan, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. What time I am afraid, in those moments when I am afraid, I will trust in thee. David chose to remember God's past provision and protection. David chose to rest in God's present help in the time of trouble. And David chose to rejoice in God's promises. Our journey of faith is often much like David's, is it not? We were talking the other day in Sunday school about the privilege it is to experience trouble, to go through certain things in your life for a variety of reasons. And one of the things we talked about is not only is it an opportunity for us to help someone else along the way when they go through a similar experience, but it also allows you to find a commonality, because many times our experiences are unique, are they not? Even if it's a similar, you know, loss of a parent, loss of a child, an illness, everyone's circumstance is specifically unique as God has created us in that way. But I was reminded as we talked through that, that one of the most powerful things about that is that God gives us the same experience as Christians, in that He meets us in that time of need in the same way. He's always faithful. He's always trustworthy. We all have that common ground, that foundation that we can all come to. That experience of illness, or that experience of grief and loss, or that experience of dealing with a specific besetting sin habit, as Pastor preached recently. It's all unique. It's all specifically and specially designed in our hearts uniquely. But that common ground that we have, and we can find this commonality with David, is that we serve the very same great God, and He's faithful to meet us in the middle of that need, that time of need. So whatever it may be, slaying a giant, hiding out in the mountains, running for fear of your life, we get discouraged, we get distressed, we get distraught, we get disquieted in our spirits. There's really no possible way that I can know what everyone in this room tonight is enduring. But there is one who is meeting with us tonight who knows exactly what we're all enduring. And that's the very God of heaven, our Creator, our Sustainer. There's no doubt that these are troubling times that we find ourselves living in. And yet tonight, the call cannot simply be to lock arms and to press forward in our own strength. We know what the end result of that would be. The example David set for us is very telling. When life hits you right in the mouth and knocks you off your feet flat on your back, there is only one source of encouragement to be found. Look up. That's what David did. In a moment of distress, in a particularly low spot, and he had many, looking around will only lead to more discouragement and despair, because everybody else was grieving around him, correct? To the point that they wanted to stone him. Looking around wasn't going to help. Looking back will only remind one of regret and shame. Looking ahead can often cause fear of the unknown. So where must we look? We must look as David did. Look up. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He chose to dwell on His provisions, His protection, His presence, and His promises. And what did this do? It allowed him to move forward onto the next thing that he had to accomplish. He wasn't paralyzed by future fears. He wasn't handicapped by past failures, but he was energized to press on to the next thing that God had for him to do. I believe God has more for us to do, don't you? In our families, in our churches, collectively, individually, God has something more for us to do. He's given us breath to breathe and life to live. David wasn't handicapped by those past failures. He wasn't paralyzed by future fears. We see that in the Psalms we read tonight. And it was just a few examples that we saw tonight. He looked to God, and when he looked to God, he was strengthened. I don't know about you. I can't speak for you, but I want to be strengthened when I'm in the midst of trouble. Don't you? Where will you look tonight when the unexpected things happen the remainder of this week? Where will I look when trouble comes? Where will we look when trials overwhelm, when life doesn't seem to make sense or worth living? Where will we look when it's our turn to face our Goliaths? We must look to the author of our faith, the finisher of that same faith, the one who is described as joyfully enduring, so that you and I could live dependently upon His grace and with His help. It says very specifically, and it's a powerful phrase, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Do you make a habit of doing that? I hope you do. We need to do that, do we not? Amen. What did David say in that psalm? God is for me. Do you believe God is for you tonight? I believe He's for me. But it's a choice that we have to make. It is a choice that we have to make. Just this afternoon, my mom texted me a couple things that have been an encouragement to her, and I'm going to pass them on to you tonight. A quote from Spurgeon. He said, "I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages." That's good, is it not? I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. I'm glad we have a rock that's higher than we are, aren't you? She also said this, "Life is a duet and not a solo." I'm glad that God sings my duet. Aren't you glad He sings with you and your duet? God wants to hear us sing. David was a singer of psalms, was he not? A player of psalms. And we saw some of those tonight. So I hope that you'll be inspired, literally be inspired to, as David did in a low moment, particularly low moment, to encourage yourself in the Lord, even as David did. He chose to remember God's past provisions. He chose to rest in God's protection. And he also chose to rejoice in God's promises, and we would do well to do the same. Let's pray tonight. We'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank You for Your words. We thank You that You have given us an opportunity to look into them tonight, to be reminded of great truth. Lord, I pray that You would bless each and every one that's taken time to be here tonight. Lord, reward them accordingly. Lord, this is not my message. Lord, this is Your message. These are words that You've given us and preserved for us to be able to have a resource, a guidebook to come together and reference something that is far greater than any other thing we could talk about tonight. So I pray that You'll help us to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged to go on for You, and to be encouraged as we turn our eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face this week, being confident because the promise is the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of glory and grace. Bless us now as we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For those that would like to sing tonight, we will rehearse for just a few minutes in just a moment. Thank you.